I'm really excited now to be handing over to a man who quietly passed into the realm of legend this year. A beloved figure on our TV screens who went interstellar. Can I say that? I can say that, right? Martin Roberts.
Dear boy.
How are you?
I'm delightful, darling. Yes, marvellous.
You're very kind. Recovered? Have you recovered from I'm a Celebrity, get me out of here?
There's always this fear. We just had Boxing Day lunch, and there's always a fear when they open the pot of vegetables, it's going to be cockroaches. But no, it wasn't. It was carrots.
Barely a penis in sight.
No penises at all around our boxing table.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I wish I could say the same.
I love the fact you can't remember your email address, mate. It's your name.
I know.
Which bit of this is difficult?
I can't remember what company I'm working for. I'm like, what day is it? It's jake.yap@invicta.fm.
Yes. At Radio 2. No, hang on a minute. That's wrong.
I'll be the day.
Wherever. No, they haven't discovered you yet.
Always available. So what's coming up in your show, Martin Roberts?
What makes you think I've got a clue? It's Boxing Day. I've been on the Rioja, mate. I am two bottles down. I've never presented fabulous. Drunk before, but here we go. It's going to be a first.
Oh, that's exciting.
Come on. Your producer just clasped her head, her hand to her head.
No, it's going
to
be fine. She hasn't got a clue what's happening. She's honestly, her career and mine are teetering on a knife edge.
But Martin, what greater compulsion could there be to go over the 4 o'clock news to hear the rest of your show?
Well, absolutely.
Than to hear that you've had two bottles of wine. I now will have to listen to every minute.
Luckily, you know, there's a 7-second delay on the transmission for Talk Radio.
And
so
on your speech.
Gabriella is going to be hovering over the red button, going, no, it's like a game at Christmas where you have to push that button before anyone can say anything embarrassing. Yeah. Anti-flow's just about to say, oh, no. So Gabriella's going to be like that for the entire show.
I think she started to cry.
Yeah. She's lovely as well. She doesn't deserve this.
Lots
of things relevant to this time of year, really, I think, probably. Yeah, good stuff. I mean, you know, just listen and find out. I don't know, whatever. It's on the list here.
Does your printer work at home?
Yeah, it's all good. Yes, we're covering the usual stuff, the news. What I love is the fact they give me drive time when nobody's driving.
I'm driving.
Are you driving?
Of course I'm driving. There's no trains today, Laura.
Really? Okay, well, maybe there may be more so listeners than I thought.
Yeah. I would say this is a very big day for driving.
I got so excited when they gave me drive time. I thought, yes, I've made it from the weekend one-off special two-hour shows to a regular show for 4 days drive time. Wow. And then I realised when it was, and I thought, oops, Daisy. Drive time at the time of year when the roads are completely empty. Look, I'm not taking it personally.
Don't take it. Listen, you passed into the realm of legend this year.
Did you enjoy it, by the way?
Oh, dude, I
he talked about every time he would come in, talk about it. And he was talking about you,
love
though,
him.
Martin.
Love him. We're having a bromance.
Full-on bromance.
It is. Yeah.
Bring lots of talc. That's all I'll tell you.
No more sticky bits for Martin.
There we go. That was it. He said it.
Just for you.
Oh, that's so nice of you. Well, enjoy it.
Thank you.
We look forward to it hugely. Martin Roberts, ladies and gentlemen, he's going to be here after the 4 o'clock news, which is only seconds away now.
Talk Radio. Fuel your appetite for adrenalised afternoon radio on the Drive Time Show that's going all over the country. Martin Roberts in for Sam Delaney on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good afternoon to you. Yes, it's the 27th of December 2016. It's just after 4 o'clock. It's Unboxing Day or Reboxing Day or other semi-violent sports days, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, I'm back. Much to James Whale and others' disbelief, they let me back on air. Imagine that. Not so much Rioja today, so hopefully a bit more toned-down show. Nope, that's not going to happen. Anyway, I'm here for the next 3 hours live from my treehouse. Oh, yes, I have a treehouse. And it's a studio up a tree in my garden in the West Country. So if you hear some birds tweeting, some traffic beeping, or just my neighbours being drunk and disorderly, well, then you know why. Today, I am going to talk about many things. Oh, yes. But if you'd really like to get in touch with the programme, that would be fantastic. Particularly if you've volunteered, as in given up some time to a charity, give me a call. Yeah. Text me 87222. Text 87222. Start your text with the word talk and then whatever you want to say. You can call me. It's a live show. Ooh, interaction. Good grief. 0344 499 1000 is the number. 0344 499 1000. Or you can even email me, martin.roberts@talkradio.co.uk. It's martin.roberts@talkradio.co.uk. You got it. Anyway, I will be telling you a bit about my experience helping in South America when it comes to actually volunteering. But certainly love to hear from you if you've done something like that. I know that over 11,000 volunteers have been helping out at Crisis at Christmas for sure. Were you one of them? Give me a shout out about your experiences. Or maybe you're helping a local charity shop or mentor a young person, whatever it is. We'd like to encourage others to do the same, so do get in touch. Don't forget, it's 0344 499 1000. 0344 499 1000. That's the telephone number, or martin.roberts@talkradio.co.uk. That's a bit later in the show. First, though, here's a heck of a way to start the show. A story that caught my eye in the Times when I was glancing through it this morning. Because scientists working at Imperial College in London have discovered the most heat-resistant material ever discovered. Now, joining me to explain exactly what impact this will have on potentially all of us is David Rothery, who is, get this, Professor of Planetary Geosciences at the Open University. David, thank you so much for sharing some time on this holiday day.
You're welcome, Martin.
What do you know about this discovery?
Okay, well, I know that it's a compound of carbon and a very rare element, hafnium, called hafnium carbide. You can make a ceramic material.
The big story that's been dominating the news, of course, is the death of George Michael. And it was really sad to hear this morning that his partner found him dead. It sure as heck has been a tough year for lots of people, including lots of celebrities who, of course, have died and their loved ones grieving like many, unfortunately. Unfortunately, for many people, it is something that we will have to deal with at some point in our lives. So how do you cope with the loss of a loved one? Well, Doug Foote is counsellor and psychotherapist, and he practices in coping with bereavement specifically. Doug, some sad news in the papers, of course.
Yes, indeed, it was today. It was when we heard on Christmas Day onwards the loss of George Michael, indeed.
But something which is mirrored, sadly, for lots of people at various points in their lives. So what do you do, and how do you help people cope with what is a fact of life, and that is death?
That's right. I mean, I think it depends really on our own situation, like, of course, lots of things do in life. You know, have we experienced a loss before and, you know, related to our own family?
You are listening to Martin Roberts here on Talk Radio on the Drive Time Show, standing in for Sam Delaney and being your host until 7 o'clock when James Whale takes over the airwaves. But before we move on, I'm afraid it's my unfortunate duty to break some sad news, some more sad news in a world that hardly needs any more. But we've just heard that Carrie Fisher, the actress who played, amongst other things, Princess Leia in Star Wars, has died at the age of 60. You may remember the news a few days ago when she had a heart attack or suspected heart attack on a plane flying to or from Los Angeles. Well, we have just heard the news that sadly Carrie Fisher, the Star Wars, amongst others, actress, has died at the age of 60. Well, Kate will have more news on that for you at 6:30 and the 7 o'clock bulletins. But terribly sad news indeed. Well, yes, it is topsy-turvy, but I hope you're enjoying our schedule on Talk Radio. Everyone's off and they've drafted us in to take over the station. I think we're doing quite a good job, actually. Not to worry. Sam, yeah, seat's still safe. I'm just keeping it warm for you. Well, Christmas is over, the presents are all unwrapped and the wine has been consumed. But have you written those thank you notes? Do you ever write them? What about the children? A little thank you note to Granny for the thermal socks, perhaps? Apparently grandparents are often the most disappointed when they don't receive a thank you letter because they were brought up writing them. Well, on the line now is someone who might just be the person to answer what is going on with the thank you notes. Grant Harold is an etiquette expert, amongst other things. He trains butlers alongside Her Royal Highness Princess Katrina and offers and teaches how people how to act amongst the royal family. Grant, what is happening with thank you notes? Are we not writing them anymore?
Hello, Martin. I'm getting worried about this because I think from what I'm hearing that the younger generation are kind of, instead of doing the thank you notes, they're turning to text and social media.
Does it matter?
Well, the thing is, what I say to people is it's important to get the message across, however you do that, whether it's done by a letter or a text or even using one of these social mediums. As long as you get the message to the person, that's obviously the most important thing. But for me, the handwritten letter is still something that's quite special because it's something that the person you're writing to can always treasure.
Absolutely. And because it's almost unusual these days, we're so used to receiving texts and things. When you actually do send somebody a handwritten note, I've had it in business and, you know, and personal stuff. People are actually quite shocked and very touched if you take the effort to write.
Do you not also find that people get really excited when they get a handwritten letter, when you see it all nicely?
Experts are warning that middle-aged people in England are facing a health crisis because of unhealthy lifestyles. Desk jobs, fast food, and the daily grind are taking their toll, say Public Health England. 8 in every 10 people aged 40 to 60 in England are, wait for it, overweight, drink too much, or get too little exercise, the government body warns. Public Health England wants people to turn over a new leaf in 2017 and make a pledge to get fit. Well, Dr. Ellie Cannon's a GP and she is on the line now. Is this a new crisis we're facing, Ellie?
I think it is certainly a new crisis that we know about. I mean, in the last 2 decades, the rates of type 2 diabetes in this age group, for example, has doubled. So obviously, something is going wrong and it's newly going wrong. And it's probably because this generation of people between the ages of 40 to 60 are very busy with their jobs. They're often looking after their own family as well as their own elderly relatives. We don't move enough nowadays. Our lifestyles and our jobs are often very sedentary. So it's created this sort of perfect storm for all these lifestyle risks.
And ones which actually have knock-on effects, which you have to pick up the pieces of in terms of things like type 2 diabetes.
Well, that's right. And type 2 diabetes comes from obesity and poor diet and inactivity. And it's not just GPs like myself. Obviously, it's also the burden on the NHS. So it's worth individuals looking at their own health, taking the One New Health quiz and actually doing that health MOT, particularly this time of year when we're all thinking about New Year's resolutions, and actually just making some small changes that can make huge differences.
Tell me about some of those, because I think that is the big thing, isn't it? People think they're going to have to run triathlons or you know, or eat lettuce leaves for the rest of their life. What I noticed, because I spent 3 weeks in the jungle just recently, and what I noticed is over a relatively short amount of time, if you make some dramatic changes, just for a relatively small amount of time, it can have huge health benefits.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why I feel, you know, very sort of pleased with this Public Health England campaign. It's actually not asking people to take on board any fad diets or any crazy exercise regime. It's encouraging people to swap out sugary snacks, to count their units of alcohol.
As 2017 fast approaches, we will be getting ready to get rid of those winter flings, getting a boyfriend or girlfriend through winter months to stay warm and watch films and maybe get some presents. No! Some hearts will be broken, some new relationships will form. But have you ever done anything silly or spiteful towards an ex-partner? Well, we'll be talking about that thing I mentioned about a man who poured a bucket of cement over his ex-partner's car as their Christmas present. Have you done anything naughty like that? Have you ripped up your ex-partner's clothes or maybe squirted something on their prized sports car? Get in contact and let me know if you have at martin.roberts@talkradio.co.uk. UK, but to talk about this phenomenon and other things is life and business coach Simon Drury. Simon, good afternoon.
Hey, Martin, how are you doing?
Very good. Well, better than this lady who's unfortunately had a car dumped a bucket of cement. Does this sort of thing happen a lot?
Well, I wouldn't say a lot, but there's some fascinating behaviours that are displayed when people feel like they've lost control of the situation.
So talk me through the general way we feel when we break up, because sometimes it's amicable, but sometimes it isn't, and there's definitely a hurt party.
Well, that is usually the case. And as far as I'm concerned, my belief is that it's all down to the level of control we believe we have in any one situation. And if we are the person who's been dumped, and or passed over, then we feel a lot less in control than we would wish. And what then happens, of course, there's an immediate emotional response. And what we do then is to try and get back in control is to use strategies that help us to achieve that. The trouble is so many of them don't work properly. But when it's really serious and we're right out of control and we're in fear, panic, anger, some of the strategies that we resort to can be pretty extreme. and it's what I would term survival mode.
Right, so you definitely go into, right, that's it, I've got to survive here. So that's it. His Savile Row suits are all being chopped into 1,000 pieces and dumped out the bedroom window.
Exactly right. And I have observed some extraordinary behaviours when people are in that position. And it's just a desire to...
So how long have you been doing this for?
Been doing it since 1993.
No, you have not.
Yes, I have. 24 years.
You've been celebrating Christmas every day?
Every single day.
Since 1993?
Yeah, well known for it as well. I've had celebrity parties here. I've had the likes of Eamon Holmes here quite recently. Westlife, they came by once. Donny Osmond, and because he was recording just down the road in Box. I expect you know Box.
I know Box.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Trevor McDonald, he popped in once. And Keith Chegwin, DJ Mike Reed, he's a regular. So he's always here doing different things. He's actually done the show from here a couple of times and had Christmas with me. And, you know, told the listeners exactly what it's all about on one of his shows. So, you know, there's no reason why you can't do that.
I'll be there, mate. I can imagine the days when you've got those people along are pretty exciting. But there's going to be lots of days when it's just the same. I mean, it's just you and maybe your children. And, I mean, does it not never get boring?
Never. I've always got friends, relations, family, you know, people in my street. They love to pop in, have a glass of sherry and a mince pie, just to see what's on the, you know, on the venue today. Is it a turkey or is it a chicken? And I've always got sprouts cooking, and they have a turkey sandwich.
Oh no!
Yeah, turkey soup, turkey sandwiches. It's always there's always something to eat, nibble for them. So you know, it's no problem. They love it. They love to come and see me.
You're a ledge. Do you actually do anything extra special on the real Christmas Day, then?
Well, apart from have loads of people around, no, I don't. I don't, to be honest, no. I just celebrate it with everyone here. I make it plain that my door is open to anyone who wants to pop in. And we just sit around the fire like it was this year. It was quite a mild Christmas, so I had the fire on low. But we watched all the TV programmes. Watched Top of the Pops and all that stuff. Watched a couple of films, which I got on DVD.
Home Alone, Christmas, Love Actually, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we watched
White
Wonderful
Christmas.
Life.
Yeah, of course.
And Ghost was on as well. And we watched that, and it was quite good. It's very Christmassy. Christmas music playing in the kitchen. And, you know, one of the ladies said, I can understand why you like Christmas. It's a great atmosphere.
I'm a huge fan of Christmas. I'm not sure every day would be. Would get a bit teased. But, you know, hey, you're living proof that it doesn't necessarily... But one of the big issues that most people have with Christmas is one tends to put on a little bit of weight. So if you're, like, eating Christmas food and like most people do at Christmas, you must be the size of a house.
Well, the size
of Santa Claus.
Eating a Christmas dinner, Martin, is very, very good. I mean, keep the calories low. The things that do put the weight on, obviously, with the high-calorie stuff is mince pies, Christmas cake, and lots of drink, which I try and steer clear of lots of drink. All right, I have a mince pie now and again, a bit of cake, like a mince pie for breakfast. But all the rest, the sprouts, the turkey is white meat, that's good for you, and all the veg, like carrots and you've got swede and broccoli, all them sort of things. It's fantastic. It's all low calorie. If you're eating that, you're not eating Chinese takeaways or Indian meals out, or you know, gobbing on sweets, you know, knocking sweets back, chocolate and all that stuff. Mm. I was 12 and a half stone when I started in 93, and I did go mad a bit, and I did go up to 21 stone. And my doctors told me to, you know, calm down. Don't knock it on the head, just calm down. I did go a bit crazy. So I just cut down on everything and thought about things, doing a bit of exercise. I walked my next-door neighbour's dog, and then, you know, I just do as much walking as I can. I got a bike, cycling, and I'd say I'm quite a slim 16 stone now. Well, 15 and a half.
Well, listen, you are a superstar. We're out of time, so all I'm going to do is wish you a very happy Christmas.
And the same to you and all your talk listeners and fantastic radio station. Left to hear you. You're always on in the car. And God bless you all and a happy Christmas to you all and a happy new year. Hey!
Now, are you a Twitcher? If so, it's been a very, very important few days for you. I mean, birdwatcher, of course. Now, in my treehouse here, I'm surrounded by lots of birds and I absolutely love it. But birds are, well, I don't say they're big business, but they're certainly really important to a lot of people who call themselves Twitchers. And Twitchers flocked from all over Britain after a rare blue rock thrush, which hasn't been seen for a decade in the UK, settled in a quiet Cotswold village over the last few days. More than 200 people turned up to see the creature, and more than 1,000 are currently on their way to this little village. Now, it's thought to be just the seventh time the bird's been seen in the UK and the first spotting in almost 10 years. On the line now to try and get our heads around why people are so, what's the word, keen to go to such lengths to see what to me looks a bit like a normal starling, is Jamie Wyber from the RSPB. That's, of course, the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds. Now, Jamie, are you a Twitcher?
I'm probably more of a birder, which is a bit more casual, I think. I turn up to places and I look for birds, but I wouldn't go trekking.
Do you even make New Year's resolutions anymore? Well, this year, what am I going to do? I haven't quite decided yet. I think it's going to be on the fitness thing, because I really enjoyed being in the jungle and losing a bit of weight and getting a bit fitter. So I'm definitely going to try and do that come the new year. But we all think we can do better than last year, don't we? And why do we make New Year's resolutions when part of the time we think we can not actually keep them? Well, somebody who's an expert on this area and hopefully somebody who can give us some tips so we might be able to keep our New Year's resolutions is Mark Griffiths, who's a professor of behavioural addiction at Nottingham Trent University. Hi there, Mark.
Hi there, Martin.
So what do you know about the concept of New Year's resolutions? Do you know where the idea came from and what do you think of them?
Well, I think New Year's resolutions are very good. I often do them myself, but as I always advise people, I tend to do just one at a time.
And if you want to get in touch to join in the conversation, it's martin.roberts@talkradio.co.uk, the martin.roberts@talkradio.co.uk. OK, you can also phone the studio on 03444991000, 03444991000, or you can even tweet me at 87222. Just write talk, followed by your question or your statement or whatever you want to say to that 87222. Now, we've been chatting earlier on in the show about making changes in our lives, and lots of us are thinking about the dreaded thing, practical and helpful. But isn't it a pain? Our budget. Oh, yes, money. We hope to reform ourselves and our spending habits in the new year. Well, will we be successful or not? I've got Liz Barkley on the line. Liz is a business and finance reviewer, and I'm very much looking forward to hearing how I can sort out my finances in 2017. Liz, can you help?
Do you think I'm going to have all the answers?
Have you got 10 minutes? Right, sort the entire population.
Well, I don't know. Sure, we can sort you out in 10 minutes.
Me and the rest of the population, we all have the same problems. It's like we haven't got enough money and we've got too many things we want to buy and we can't budget very well. So what can we do, Liz, to try and make 2017 a year when we take a few steps in the right direction?
Well, I think that you should take heart, you know, because the figures show that people in the first 11 months of 2016 saved £32 billion.
Wow.
As opposed to £20 billion in the same time last year. So we are doing quite well.
It's drive time. It's just approaching 10 to 5. Not that anyone's driving at the moment. I love this. They give me drive time when no one's actually actually in the car driving. You know, they're not stupid, are they? I am Martin Roberts in for Sam Delaney, and I am with you today, tomorrow, and on Thursday. Now, shortly I'll be talking about volunteering and how 2017 could be the year to do something rewarding and altruistic. I'm really looking forward to talking to someone who has been volunteering for all sorts of causes last year. But I'd also love to hear from you. Do you give your time to a worthy cause? Maybe help out at a local community group, or you've helped a project abroad. Whatever your story, I'd love to hear it. Give me a call on 0344 499 1000. That's 0344 499 1000. Or you can email me, martin.roberts@talkradio.co.uk. That's martin.roberts@talkradio.co.uk. Right now, though, I... You'll love this. I want to talk about the etiquette of gift returns. Come on, be honest. We've all sat there and received that truly awful present. Had to force a smile while your mind quickly runs through the options of how you could recycle it or give it to somebody else for a different time of year as a present or a better. But you know the kind of thing. I had it. My dad, he gave me this Aaron sweater yesterday or on Christmas Day. Oh my gosh, it was Dad. Why have you brought me an Aaron sweater? I'm never going to wear that. You know, and I actually plucked up the courage and said, look, Dad, you know, you've still got the receipt because I'm never going to wear this. But the thing is, what do you do? Do you rush to eBay to sell it? I mean, there could be the awfully embarrassing situation if the person who gave it to you then discovers it on eBay and catches you out. So what is the best thing to do? Should you be honest, like I was with Dad on Christmas Day, and say you don't like it? Well, the best of all etiquette coaches is joining me on the line. It's Diana Mather. Hello, Diana.
Hello, happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas to you too.
I have to say, I think you were absolutely right to tell your father. You can tell your nearest and dearest if you don't like something, you're not going to wear it. Because it's difficult if it was your father-in-law, that would be a bit more difficult. But I think with your father, you did the absolutely right thing.
Now, making the headlines today, Britain's GP says she's profoundly concerned about how doctors will cope with demand over the busy winter period. This is a story we're all familiar with, and it never seems to go away. Helen Stokes-Lampard, chair of the Royal College of GPs Council, said general practice was skating on thin ice and warned that something has to give. She says some people wait weeks to see a doctor with potentially serious knock-on effects. NHS England said GPs would be getting extra funding to extend services. Well, on the line now, I'm joined by a South London GP, Dr. Steve Mole. What are things from your point of view, Steve?
Well, I think, unfortunately, Martin, every year demand goes up. We know we're seeing over 60 million extra patients every year than we did 5 years ago. That's from 300 to 360 million. And today alone, over a million patients will have visited their GP surgery. And so every year we get that bit busier. But unfortunately, the numbers of GPs are just not keeping pace. We've got older GPs retiring, and we've just not got enough young doctors entering training to keep their place.
So why are visits to GPs going up?
Well, I think a combination of reasons. I think obviously the population is getting older. We're seeing much more complex patients as hospitals.
Now, obviously, a story that's been dominating the news for the last couple of days is the sad death of George Michael, who died, of course, on Christmas Day. The singer passed away in his sleep in his home, and the tributes have literally been pouring in. Over the last few days, we've been hearing about his kind gestures. He donated £15,000, for instance, secretly to a woman who needed IVF to have children, another £50,000 to David Walliams when he swam the Channel. Well, I'm really privileged to announce that we've got the showbiz reporter for The Sun, Benjamin Potter, joining me on the line now, who's actually been outside George Michael's house.
Yes, Martin, it's great to speak to you. I'm back in this country. Martin and I were in Australia together when I was reporting on the jungle, so slightly chillier this morning in Highgate, Martin.
Yeah, it was great to have you in Australia. It was a memorable few weeks for us all, I think.
absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the atmosphere outside the house this morning in Highgate, where he owns a property and where he lived for most of his life, in the spotlight at least, was absolutely emotional. It was one of an outpouring of grief and also one of absolute community between his fans, where through the tears, anecdotes, memories, you know, were shared and people were able to come together. I mean, I learned some incredible, you know, George Michael facts, you know.
Say, now, did you take a photograph of yourself today? This is not a naughty question. What about this week? Apparently, we have turned into a selfie-obsessed Briton. Believe it or not, we snapped 1.2 billion pictures of our own faces last year alone. One in 10 people takes at least one selfie a week. Selfie sticks are banned in some locations. Ofcom says that almost a third of Brits admit to taking a picture of themselves in the past year. And actually, it turns out that only a fifth of us are now actually using our cameras to take normal photographs. It's all about taking pictures of ourselves. So, what on earth is causing this interesting phenomenon? Well, joining me on the line now is social media strategist James Norris. James, what is going on with our obsession with selfies?
Hello, Martin. How are you doing?
Very good. How are you?
Very, very good. Very good. We are now able to express ourselves like never before. We are continually carrying around, you know, smart devices, high quality cameras in our pockets. But not only that, but those cameras are normally our mobile phones, are also high quality and very powerful computers. So we're able to instantly take very good photos and capture incredible videos and share them instantly with our friends and family. So in short, the reason why we are taking selfies and uploading them to places like Facebook and Instagram, etc., is because we now have the means to do so.
What is the fascination with sharing our intimate moments as they pass? And some of them might actually be very dull, like I'm just eating my breakfast cereal. What is the psychology behind us wanting to share that with people, some of whom we haven't got a clue who they are?
Yeah, so all human beings like to be rewarded for their actions, you know, in a simple way, you know.
But as I was having my super healthy, nutritious breakfast this morning, sorry, I came across this article that basically claimed that we are a bit chubbier than our parents simply because our nutritional needs have changed. Apparently, eating like our parents is just not the right thing to do, as we don't need all those calories anymore. You know the saying, eat like a king, lunch like a prince, and supper like a... Supper? Yes, supper like a pauper. Does that still work? Over the weekend, another article claimed that we don't need to be having breakfast at all. Oh, I don't know. Isn't it all a bit confusing? One week they say one thing, one week they say another. Well, look, I have had to call up someone to help me out here. And so, thankfully, celebrity trainer and food coach from fitnessangel.org has answered my plea. She is Paula Paspel. Can you just say your surname for me?
You're brave for attempting this. It's Pospisalska.
Pospisalska. It's beautiful. Yeah. Well, you say it with a twinge that I couldn't possibly do. Thank you so much for joining me. Listen, have our nutritional needs changed? What do you know about this story?
I think that our lifestyle changed. You know, we're still humans. We're still Homo sapiens. Our nutritional needs have not changed. It's our lifestyle.
Next, though, I want to share some thoughts on the wonderful experience that can be raising your children. Have you got kids of your own? You know, you want the very best for them. But does that mean that you sometimes push them a bit too far? Do you want them to be that virtuoso violinist? Do you want them to be the next Pelé? Do you want them to be Einstein in the making? Does that make you a little bit of a pushy parent? Well, as many dads do, I followed my kids through many activities. Of course I do. And the other day, I went to my local school for a football day out and got chatting to the coach and other parents on the sidelines.
Martin Roberts in for Sam Delaney on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, Will, you're actually in charge of this then?
Yep, I'm in charge of the under-7 team.
And tell me what you do with the kids at this age.
At this age, it's all about fun. So a lot of the kids haven't played before. Some of the kids have played quite a lot. Some have watched it on telly. So the aim is for them to come together as a group, to have loads of fun in the mornings, and to learn a few skills along the way, and to learn all about teamwork and sportsmanship as far as we can at that age.
Are you looking for potential future football stars at this age?
No, we're not. I mean, there are kids that are very good for the age, but this is really about sharing skills and the kids learning from each other, learning to work as a team. And, you know, if they go on to do great things, fantastic. But my aim is for them to go away with a big smile on their face and to have had loads of fun.
Now, looking at the group, it's all boys at the moment. You presumably girls are very welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't tend to get very many, but we have had girls in the past and they're more than welcome.
What do you think the kids get out of it?
I hope and I think they get loads of fun. And they come away with, puffed up cheeks and just looking like they've had a good run around, let off a bit of steam, and come away talking about the football they've played, which is great.
You're one of the parents.
I am, yeah.
Standing on a freezing cold touchline.
Freezing.
And how old is your son or daughter?
He's 6. That's Samuel over there in the blue.
What do you think the benefit for Samuel is?
Oh, he loves it. He does football, he does golf, he does taekwondo, he does swimming. You've got to keep him active and away from the computer, I think.
They don't know the rules yet, do they? But it's all about mixing in and getting them used to a Saturday sport, really.
So why have you brought your son to do this?
Because I think it's a really good opportunity for Miles to get out there, meet new friends, and just gain some confidence. And if he becomes a football star afterwards, then all the better. But for now, I just think he really enjoys the engagement with others of his age group, and just really gains critical relationship skills, I think.
Is he particularly sporty? Do you need to be?
No, I don't think he has been before, really, but I don't know what it is. It's just it's something's clicked, and suddenly he's got really, really sporty and confident, and just talks about it all week. And I just think it's a really great way to start, supporting the next generation, I guess. Really? As I said, whether they're a footballer or not.
And because you don't, until you try these things, you don't know, do you?
Exactly, yeah. And we were just humming and ahhing, and he started football at school, and now, we do it on a Saturday morning as well, and just absolutely chomping at the bit to get up here every week.
What about standing here on the freezing cold sidelines, you?
Well,
this is the start of 10 years of this,
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. But it's great.
And getting competitive, do you think?
Absolutely. Already? I find myself going, hey, come on, lad, come on.
Already?
Yeah, even when he just touches the ball, let alone kick it. oh, come on, son. Go on, Miles. Whee, yeah. And just like that.
There you go. A pushy parent there on the sidelines talking to a coach and some parents at the sidelines of local football training. They're only 7 years old. That definitely got me thinking about the pressures that we sometimes put our kids through. Are you guilty? Well, have a listen to this.
Every parent wants their kid to be a superstar. Get the kid to buy into your dream.
With his talent and what he has, he can be as successful as he wants to be.
To get recruited by a D1 school, the scholarship is the goal.
The covenant that I'm making with God is that you be number one in the world in tennis.
Well, I didn't have a dad growing up. Once I saw my son born, I'm never not going to be there.
Can you be any stupider? How dumb!
I want to be rewarded somehow, some way.
What if I didn't do everything I could to help them realize their dreams?
I just see so much more in you, man. That's all. Man, I see more.
Well, that was a clip from the 2013 film Trophy Kids. Did that ring any bells? Are you one of those parents? It's a delicate balance, isn't it? Because you want to encourage them, you want to inspire them, and in some ways push them, because some children aren't naturally proactive. So how much do you push your children? How much do you encourage them to do things which they're, when they'd rather play on their Xbox or play on their Kindle or whatever? Do you really push them to go to those piano lessons or to the football training or to the gymnastics club or whatever. How far do you go? Well, shortly after the break, I'll be talking to an expert about how to find the right balance and not fall into that pushy parent category. Meanwhile, of course, if you'd like to add your thoughts onto this, then do give me a call. 03444991000. That's 03444991000. Or, of course, you can email me, martin.roberts@talkradio.co.uk.